stars came down and your love shone through. All right, welcome to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Nicole Hayes. Say good morning.
Good morning.
All right, she is from Motherly Intercessors, and we're going to get to her in a second. If this is your first time, make sure that you grab your phone, go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, and click on struggling. And if you're struggling with food or clothes or baby formula or parenting classes or teaching or want to get your kids in different schools and you're struggling with money, please go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, click on those direct links to groups that can help you. No red tape. And if you know anyone that is struggling, you can send them that website, spiritualwarfareunit.com, so you can be the person to help those people in your area. All right, so be the person that helps us, help you, help them. All right, we're here with Nicole, and you are from Motherly Intercession.
Yes.
Yeah, and your official title is?
Executive Director.
Executive Director. Shee, buddy.
Yes.
All right, and how long have you held this position?
It'll be 2 years. It was 2 years in May.
Okay, so you're still cutting teeth in
this.
All right.
Yes.
And so the lady that you picked up the mantle for was who?
Miss Shirley Cochran.
And Miss Shirley Cochran. Tell people a little bit about her.
Okay. Miss Shirley Cochran was the founder of Motherly Intercession that started in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was executive director for 20 years and mm-hmm. retired in April of 2020.
Right. And so this does work with ladies inside the jail, right?
Yes. Yes, we do parenting classes inside the jail. We now do fatherhood classes with fathers inside the jail mm-hmm. now. But we also, what we were founded on is children who mm-hmm. were impacted by incarceration.
Right. So this is what makes this an amazing program. So you guys go into jails and you help the moms and dads that are inside the jail. But outside the jail,
yes.
when these parents sign up for your program, mm-hmm. you tutor their kids.
Yes.
And help them with whatever.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So kind of explain this, because I know nobody's really heard of this before.
Yes. So we have, it's our Reading and Counting to Success Plus program. And mm-hmm. so we have one part is our after-school tutorial program. Doing a school.
Hold on. After school
tutorial
program. All right, what's that?
And so we tutor children in reading and math and also do their homework help.
Okay.
And so that's during the school year. In the summer, we have a summer day camp.
Okay.
Which we work on academics, reading and math. And then we have fun. So actually today they're going to Cops and Robbers. And so
Cops and Robbers,
the mini golf in Flushing.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And so
basically, if I'm gonna put a nutshell on this for mm-hmm. people, it's people who've gone to jail that reach out to you guys to help them while they're in jail, but mm-hmm. help their kids also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else like this?
No, there's not anything else like this that's directly targeted for children of incarceration.
And I know that Shirley had been doing this. She's very passionate. It went from nothing to pretty big functional process, because it's a great idea, right?
Yes. Yes,
it is. All right. And so you took the mantle, and so and you got a pretty big elephant you're trying to run here,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
All right. And so getting that done, I wanted to get the background a little bit. So mm-hmm. Where are you from?
I'm from Magnolia, Arkansas.
Magnolia. Let's uh-huh. steal magnolias.
Yes.
All right. And small town, big town?
It's small town. Small town. 12,000 people.
12,000?
12,000 people, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what was growing up there like?
It was small. You related to everybody. And so, yeah, we lived out about 20 minutes from the town. So we lived in the country.
Uh-huh.
And so off of 2 acres.
No, you're in Arkansas. You in the country.
In the country,
yeah. That state is country.
Yes.
But you would still derivate.
Uh-huh.
From county. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
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 Okay. So you're in the country. You're grown mm-hmm. up. What, like, anything that, like, that made your personality the way it is now that happened when you were a kid, like, you know, 0 to 10, something
uh-huh.
like that range?
Well, yeah. So when I was born, I weighed 2 pounds. When
2 pounds?
2 pounds. Yeah, I was a preemie. And so I still have the marks in my hands where they did, you know, the cut down in my foot where they did, you know, trying to find veins and stuff
wow.
like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
what was the reason?
No, my mama just went into early labor 3 months earlier. And so I supposed to have been born in June, but I was born in March.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And so it's really.
Were you like sickly from that?
No.
Oh, so you just grew up fine.
I grew up fine. I was the mama said I was a walking miracle. I didn't have any anything wrong with me. It's, unlike my brother, he was born on term and had asthma and everything else.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, he came out right and was wrong, and you came out wrong and was right.
Yeah.
All right, so how many siblings do you have?
Just that one.
Just one brother?
Mm-hmm, one brother.
He's younger, older?
He's younger.
Younger than you? Mm-hmm. But what's the age difference?
2 years.
2 years. Oh, so just old enough
yeah.
to let him know who's boss.
Yes.
Okay. And so growing up together, mom and dad?
Yeah, both parents. My mm-hmm. parents are, my dad, he worked at Alumax, was an aluminum company. Mm-hmm. And then my mom was a nurse.
Oh,
and
really?
So, yeah, she's a nurse. And so we went to church all the time.
Yeah.
So Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, you know.
If anytime. It was open, you were gone.
Yes, we were the first ones there and the last ones to leave.
Got to get some Jesus sometimes.
Yes.
That's the way it works. It's a little tiresome sometimes.
Yes.
That's all right. Thank God he's everywhere, huh?
Yes, he is. And it shaped me. And it's true, you know, train up a child in the way they should go. And in times of.
And they will come back to
you. They will come back to you. Yep. And so.
Yeah, that's Proverbs. That's my.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So growing up, mom's a nurse. Dad works in an aluminum company, school. Mm-hmm. What were you? Were you a nerd? Were you an athlete? Were you a cool person?
No, I was a nerd.
Yeah.
I was into my own thing, and I had friends everywhere.
Star Wars person?
Yeah, I am a Star Wars person.
Yes, yes, you're a high-level nerd. All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you do, what'd you do in high school? What kind
I did band.
Okay.
And so I was into band.
What was your?
I played the bassoon.
Okay.
And so I was an orchestra instrument. And then during marching season, I played in the pit, so the xylophone and stuff like that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's like the exotic pieces, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cute, very very neat. All right, so you graduated in what year?
In 2004.
So you graduated in 2004. Mm-hmm. Man, you're young.
Yeah, 2004.
All right, so you graduate and you're still in Arkansas.
Well, I wanted to go to. So my thing about college, I didn't want to go to any state that touched the state of Arkansas. Seven states touch Arkansas.
All right, hold on. How did you come to that conclusion?
Because
if it touches the state, that feels very personal.
Yes.
All right.
The whole thing is because my parents would drive anywhere.
So you're trying to get away from them?
Yes.
You're like, I don't want it to be easy for you to get there.
Yes.
All right. Wow.
Yes. And so I started off wanting to go to NYU. I didn't get in there. So, well, in high school, was in English class, and they were talking about Hawaii. I said, let's see if they have any college in Hawaii. And I just applied, and I got in.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You went to college in Hawaii?
I went to college in Hawaii.
Which means they had to fly there.
Yes, they did.
Which means they had to call you when they got
yes,
there.
Yes, it's a seven-hour ride.
So you knew they were coming. They
yes.
weren't just going to surprise
no,
you.
No, they wouldn't.
That's so funny. I don't think I've ever heard anybody go from that direction. You're like, I want to make sure my parents don't get to sneak up on me.
Yes.
Man, it feels like there's some history there, them sneaking up on you, and that's why you decided not to do that. All right, we won't get into that.
Okay.
All right, so you go to college. You said, so this is what, 2005?
2000, the fall of 2004.
The fall of 2004,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do you start off on?
So I started off, I always knew I wanted to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did business marketing.
Business
marketing. And so that's what I enrolled in, and that's what I kept up with. And I actually graduated early. So I graduated in 3 years.
No kidding.
Yeah, because that was their 100-year anniversary was in 2007. And so I'm going to graduate that so I could graduate.
Oh, wait a minute. People just don't decide to graduate early. You're like a smarty person.
And yes.
You're trying to hold on. What was your GPA in high school?
It was 4 point something. I was number
4
10.
4 point something, and you were number 10?
Number 10 in the class, yeah.
With a perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You were 10th.
Yeah.
I'm just letting this sink in because, like, we didn't even have one person hit that number.
Yeah.
And you had a 4 point something. You were 10th.
Yeah, I was 10th, yeah.
Man, there's some smart people in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So you guys weren't like closely related when.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So you go to school and you decide. So how did you do it? Like, how many credits were you taking in a semester?
I did a full load. A full, how many they would let me take. And so,
what is that, like 22?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Then I went to summer school too. So.
So you just went year round,
mm-hmm.
and you're in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Anything fun happened while you're out there?
No, I did join a sorority, mm-hmm. and so we had great fun with it. Yeah. So
being a college person. Mm-hmm. All right, and anything that happened in your college years that mm-hmm. kind of put you towards nonprofit, like.
No, I didn't.
So you still doing business at
still
this time?
Business. Yeah, uh-huh. Still business. Yeah.
All right. We can't break it. I want to hear this when it happens. All right. So you're in school. You graduated a year early because you wanted to be in the 100th year.
Yeah.
Just like you didn't want a college that had a state. So you're very specific about things, I see.
Yes.
All right. So you graduated a year early. And then were you scholarshiped or did you work?
Mm-mm. Nope, I did work. I did work. Wasn't scholarship, loans.
And yeah, so, right?
Yeah.
Debt.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And all right, so. But you saved a year of debt by.
Yeah. And plus I had, you know, out-of-state tuition too. So I was almost seven times as much as the in-state tuition. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. God bless your parents for that.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you graduate. So that when you graduated, you were how old?
I had just turned 21.
Just turned 21. Mm-hmm. And what was your GPA?
It was a 3.18.
3.18.
Mm-hmm.
For that fast, that's really crazy. Like you don't hear about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so you're getting ready and you graduated with business marketing degree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you graduate. So what was the 100th anniversary like? Since you worked so hard for it.
Well, they give you a special seal on the diploma.
The whole year work for a seal on the diploma.
Seal on diploma that I graduate in the 100th year. Yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then, you know, you're setting goals. You're hitting goals. Yep. You're setting goals. I like that.
Yeah.
Man. Yep. Just remind myself that if. Get on your bad side. You don't want to be in a state that touches the state I'm in. That one's sticking in my mind. That's so funny. All right. So you're graduating high school. You're 21 years old. Mm-hmm. Man, life's kind of at yours. So you go from Hawaii and you're going into business. So did you intern anywhere?
Or? No. So when I was in Hawaii, I interned at Chevron. They have a oil refinery there. And so I wanted to go back to the States because it's hard. It's hard to get back and forth. My grandmother had passed in 2006. And so I didn't get a chance to go to the funeral and stuff.
Were you guys close?
Yes, we were close. Mm. And so it was my dad's mom. And so, you know, it was kind of hard. And I knew, like, I want to get back to the States somewhere in the States.
So you want to be close, just not touching the States?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, this is a perfect time to take a break. If you have not gone, and the website for you guys is unlocktheirfuture.org, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So check that out on the break. And while we're talking, you can see what they're about. If you've not liked and shared Spiritual Warfare Unit on YouTube, do that next. And you sit tight. We'll be right back. Prophets in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case... In case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in, you go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, you click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program. All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Nicole Hayes, and she's from Motherly Intercession, which works with mothers inside jail and training their children outside of jail. It's a magnificent program helping people. And if you haven't checked it out while we're talking, go to unlocktheirfuture.org, which is Motherly Intercessor. Looks like the up there on the screen, and just check that out. All right, so you're 21, went through the death of your grandma, couldn't get there. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't. I'm imagining you didn't like beat yourself up over that, did you?
No. Yeah. I got a chance to talk to her before she passed.
Okay.
And I didn't get a chance to call her on her birthday, and then she had the heart attack the day after her birthday.
Mm.
And so I did get a chance to talk to her before she passed. So.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what year did you graduate?
2007.
2007. Oh, man. So that's right before the.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Putting all this together. All right. So,
yeah.
So you're going into business right before the market's about ready just to plummet, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you go to Chevron. You said you didn't like it?
Well, I did love it, but I didn't want to stay on the island and stuff like that. And I decided to come back home, spend some time with my family.
Okay.
Since I went to summer school, didn't come home as often. My mom ended up happening to fly out there to see me 1 year.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a chance to go home. So, yeah, so I decided to stay and just trying to find somewhere. So I went to Oklahoma City, try to get a job, but I ended back up in Arkansas. Trying to get away from Arkansas.
Yeah, it sucked you back in.
Sucked me back in. I ended up staying with my grandmother, my mom's mom.
Yeah.
And I got a job at a part-time sales position at a store called Catherine's, the plus-size store.
Catherine's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And so I ended up working there for almost 5 years. And I just worked myself up all the way to a store manager.
Okay.
And I worked out in Sherman. I had my own store in Sherman.
Okay.
And so then I decided, I want to do something different.
So did you find it, difficult? Or, once you worked it up, you're like, I want to do something a little more challenging?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I got used to getting promoted every year.
You got used to it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
People don't normally say that. Yeah, I just get used to people wanting me to run things.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, I need to do something different.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to possibly go to the, Air Force Academy.
Okay.
But my blood pressure was too high, so I couldn't do that. Passed the test to go in everything.
Really?
Couldn't do
an officer?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so, 'cause I love to travel. And so.
Clearly.
So I decided, I'll go home and try to regroup. And so my parents' home was always open. My parents are always supportive of anything I do.
That's cool.
And so that's what's great about them, that they did, and even though I had that rule about seven states, they did let me.
Even though you didn't like them, they still like you. So that's.
Yeah. they did, that's really so let us be adults,
Yeah.
They taught us that. Decisions have consequences and rewards.
Right.
And they wanted us to understand that. And that I really remember that. And one of the things my dad told me when I went off to college in Hawaii, he said that I have a good name. And you have the same last name I do.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you have a good
name. Don't ruin that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So through, because 2008, the whole world fell, right?
Yes, it did.
So you're working at
Catherine's.
The store
mm-hmm.
and was able to maintain it through all that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you maintain it through all that 5 years. So that would be 2012.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in 2012, you're like, all right, I did that. Check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got promoted every year. Check.
Yep.
Boring. Ran it. Check.
Yep.
Now what?
Now I go back home and I work at another retail store called Fred's.
All right. Hold on. Did you quit before you got the other? You did?
Yeah.
You're like, all right, I'm done and no job.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Nope. And so
that feels like it was like.
Yeah. It was.
I'm detecting a pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just really, I couldn't grow. Yeah, I couldn't grow. And I need to be somewhere where I can grow.
I hear that.
And so, and that really, going back home really allowed me to find myself and what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I was working at Fred's.
So how long were you off work before you got the?
Before I got a real job.
No, before you got the next one.
For the next one?
Yeah.
Probably 3 months.
Okay.
3 months. Because when you work retail and you work at the leadership position, it's easy to find a job.
It's easy to find store manager.
It's store manager position or assistant manager or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was able to find them.
So you picked this one because?
It was close to home.
Okay.
And it gave me time to really think about where I want to go do next.
All right. So this is a tweener.
Yeah.
Okay. How long did you stay there?
I stayed there until August of 2013.
So like a year,
a little bit
less.
Like 6 months and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right. And so you did it. You get in there. You realize I've already done this.
Well, I just really wanted to leave the state again.
Really? So you're just saving up to get out?
To leave the state.
So you're in Arkansas still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're still in the place where you grew up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I can see why you'd want to get out of there.
Yeah.
Went all the way to Hawaii to get out. Now I'm back here. And now I remember why I don't want to be here and it's time to go. So you made it through.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the depression. So this is 2013?
2013.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So 2013. Did you quit again, or did
No, I got a job in Oklahoma City.
So they found you, or you found
them? No, I went online, and I applied. It was Farmers Insurance at their call center in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And so I went there to work there. Didn't really like it because it was a call center.
And why did you take it?
Huh? I didn't know what it was going to be like, so I just wanted to experience it.
You want to experience it?
Yeah, experience it.
And you got there, and you're like, man, this sucks.
I didn't really like it.
Yeah, right.
No, it's fine. Yeah, didn't really like it.
You got to find yourself, right?
Yes.
All right, so you went to college, did that, came home, didn't want that, did the small business thing, was successful, got bored, did it again so you could leave. You left. You hated it.
Yeah. Right? And I went back to retail, which is...
Okay.
Retail's always my fallback. Yeah.
When in doubt, I can make money doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to Ace Hardware. Ace Hardware.
What was your position?
I was the administrative manager. So I managed the front end. So I managed the cash registers. And so the people on the cash registers.
Making sure people don't steal money. Make sure the mm-hmm. numbers are right. Yes. How to reduce costs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. All right. And how was that?
Well, it was good. I got along.
You liked that one.
Yeah, I did. I learned a lot. I learned how to mix paint. I learned about cutting glass. I learned about a lot of different things.
Cutting glass?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a story there.
Yeah,
what happened?
Huh? No, it was easy as long as you do the right thing and cut hard enough.
So you cut it, like, how do you do it? I have no idea.
So it was they have a little place where you put the glass and the person tells you how... You know, the dimensions of what they want the glass, and mm-hmm. you have the glass cutter. And then,
but what's that made out of?
Huh? The glass cutter?
Yeah.
It's a...
is it like diamond tipped or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so you cut it and you crack it and it'll fall off. It should fall off. Hopefully it falls off.
See,
right.
I knew there's a story in there.
Yeah.
It should work that way. Should. It doesn't, though.
So no.
So there's some practice in
that. Yes,
Athens.
It is.
All right. So you're doing the... You're doing the taking care of the front, the admin mm-hmm. work. You're breaking glass, cutting glass. That sounds interesting. I don't know. Anything else interesting you learned?
Well, I learned how to do keys, make keys, and so
really, that like was the machine.
Uh huh. Yep.
And you found that interesting?
Yes, I did.
What made that interesting?
You could take a blank key and you make it into any kind of key. And so I was like, you can make any kind of key and it'll work. And so
no kidding.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's just interesting how the mind works.
Right? Yeah.
All right. So you're making keys, mm-hmm. and breaking glass, or making glass, not breaking glass, and you're working as a manager up in the front, and, mm-hmm. and you did this at 2013.
Yeah, it was 2014, and so.
All right, and how long did that one go?
So I worked there until maybe 2015, I think 2015.
So a couple years?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, did you get any regular promotions in that as well?
No, I didn't get. I really enjoyed the job. It kept me on my toes.
Oh, so you liked the position?
I did like the position. I liked the people I worked with. Mm. Not that I didn't like the people I worked with, and
right.
was a girl, but I really enjoyed it. And, you know, plus I was in the city too, so it was really nice.
So you got the lifeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I was actually, one of my friends told me about a job fair that DHS was having, and so I said, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll just
DHS.
DHS. Yeah." And so I was like, okay, well, I'll go. And then they interview you on the spot, and I got the job. I'm like, oh.
Doing what?
Working with being a child welfare specialist.
Child welfare specialist.
I'm like CPS.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you interview homes or kids? Or how does that work?
Yeah. So they have two sides to DHS. You can be the investigator, or you can be part of the permanency part. So after a child is declared a part of the state, I work with the family to get them back. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
So that seems to me like that'd be heart-wrenching and mm-hmm. like satisfying.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there anything in there that happened that kind of molded?
Yes. I definitely love the work. I love working with the families.
Did you have like a specific experience with a family where you're like, man, that was.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I had.
With keeping their names out.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so, like, I did have one. Individual who once they terminate on you on one case.
What does that mean, terminate?
It's not terminate. So they terminate your rights. And so
if your rights?
No, the parents' rights.
Oh, the parents' rights.
Okay. So they
terminate. So the state comes in and says you're not going to see the.
They go work through a whole case, and okay. So it's a whole process.
Right,
and
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that, it's a whole process with DHS and
right.
One parent. She had a previous case,
mm-hmm.
and where they did have termination, and usually they'll try to if you have another child and the problem is still there.
Yeah.
The safety problem is still there.
Yeah.
They'll terminate again on that new child.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I told her, I said, do you want to work your case? And she said she did. I said, okay.
All right, what does that mean? Does she want to work
the case.
Work the situation
work
out?
Work the situation though? Out, yes.
Okay.
To correct the behaviors that we needed to correct to keep this child.
So correcting the behaviors of the children to keep the children.
Keep the children, keep the safety.
Because gotcha.
With DHS, it's about safety.
Right, okay.
And so safety of the child. And so I was a person in the office was known as the resource queen. I knew every resource that you need to know to have a child. If my foster parents, if they needed a bed, I knew where to go to get a bed for them.
Okay.
Everything. I knew everybody.
Yeah.
Trying to get reach to connect people to.
So
resources.
You're like the spiritual warfare unit of the DHS.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so I had just picked up a flyer from a foster parent who had a place where for moms
okay.
that they can stay at and get themselves together. And so I was able to give her that resource, and she
okay.
was able to work her case successfully. She ended up getting her child back.
And no kidding.
Yeah, she ended
now,
up.
How long did that take?
It took about a year.
Okay.
A year. And so
you're like really vested in this.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, in the families. And that's how one of the things when I was worked in child welfare, it lasted almost 4 years, and I usually move every 3 years. And I was like, oh, it's, you know, year three, it's already passed. I really enjoyed my
You're
work.
Like, wait a minute, what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying myself.
I am enjoying myself, but I wanted to dig a little deeper, and so I decided to go to be a social worker, to have, go pursue my MSW degree.
MSW?
Yeah, Master of Social Work.
Master's in Social Work.
Yeah.
I told you this is going to go by fast. We already have to take another break.
Okay.
This is a great place to do it. You're getting ready to go into that. And then when we get back, we'll be in our gem session where she's going to tell us a couple funny stories of the past since she was on, and we'll continue on the story. If you've not gone to unlocktheirfuture.org, please go and do that and check out what she's doing. Like, share, and subscribe. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
I'm really impressed with the teachings that Isaac has been bringing to us, as this is all based from Proverbs.
I like it because it's simple, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's very easy to understand and apply to your life.
You know, it points out, you know, my bad parts, and you know, but it's showing me how to do the good parts. And you know, I'm trying to apply that and, you know, make a better life for myself because I'm tired of where I've been.
It's impacted a lot of the guys as they continue to talk and ask questions after the meetings as they speak to one another regarding the meeting and the messages. And the topics that are being brought up, which are down-to-earth topics of situations and things that we live with on a day-to-day basis.
He takes the Bible and he breaks it down into simple terms and where you can understand. And like I said before, a lot of churches, even the Salvation Army sometimes, we start using these big words that people don't understand, like even saying someone got saved. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say someone got saved? And it's accepting Jesus into your heart. So it's like words like that that we use that people don't understand.
It's just very interesting how he points out, you know, the different things of, you know, the sin part. And then he comes back with the, you know, how to make it better. And he just points it out. It's there. You know, I didn't know all this stuff was in there. But now that he's pointing it out, it's like, wow, you know, I guess if you really dig into the Bible, you find these things.
This is a daily moral standards that we can live by that the teachings are coming from. And honestly, we can take verse by verse as what he's done, and pretty much he's done the hard work for us and now laying it out so that we have an easier understanding.
There's some people who don't like to be in Bible classes, but this one seems to get their attention.
Welcome back. All right. Welcome back to the Spiritual Warfare Unit. I am here with my friend Nicole Hayes from Motherly Intercession in our third section. She gave us this cool stress heart. that you can squeeze someone's heart when you're stressed, and that for some reason feels good. All right, and we get into our gem session, which are funny stories that have happened along your life path that have got you to where you got. So what do you have for us?
Okay, so no matter where I go to, I'm also the Southern person there,
too. The Southern person.
Yeah. All right. And so no matter what I did, even in Hawaii, they were like, where are you from? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And so even...
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? And then when I would come work with our kids at Motherly Intercession, they would have me say certain words. I'm like, what are you doing? They want to hear me say different words.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, what's that cartoon with the guy? And he says, say whip. He says, whip. I said, whip. No, whip. Whip. Why do you say it that way? What way? And you have that Southern accent.
Yeah.
Why do I can't believe that you have that to you. And it sounds funny because you're always the Southern belle no matter where you
are. Yes.
And you just accept it and roll with it?
Yes. That's
super funny.
Yep.
Yeah, I was in a car accident in 2009, so having a brain injury and having to deal with all that stuff. For me, the funny stuff always comes into saying things, and I don't understand, like, there's a secondary meaning for mm-hmm. something. Like, I was sitting with some ladies, and they kept talking about large cats. Mm-hmm. And conversation's going on 30 minutes, mm-hmm. 40 minutes. And they're like, What is your feeling on this conversation? And I was like, well, cougars are just large brown cats, and I don't understand. And they just all started laughing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea why they were laughing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it was like, and so people make fun of me because of that. There'll be certain mm-hmm. things that go that way, and I'm like, well, I don't understand why is that funny. And then they have to explain to you, and I'm like, oh, I'm dumb. Oh, I didn't know that, and I feel stupid. And then they think it's funny. So, before we get back into your story, though, I just real quick want to touch on, you guys are having a 5K event coming up here pretty soon, right?
Yes, we
are. All right, tell people about that real quick.
Yeah, and so this is our first 5K event, and so it's Saturday, September 10th, mm-hmm. and it'll be held at Kresge Bicentennial Park.
Kresge Bicentennial Park, downtown.
Yes. Down, yes.
Okay, and that's in Flint.
No, it's in Grand Blanc.
Grand Blanc.
It's in Grand Blanc, yes. It's Grand Blanc.
All right, we're in Grand Blanc, and you're going to mm-hmm. do a 5K walk, and it's for
just raise money for organization for our kids. It's called Leading the Path to a Brighter Future.
Right, so how do you not walk to help kids mm-hmm. whose parents are in jail and they're trying to keep their education? It's such a great price. It's mm-hmm. an easy sell, right?
Yeah.
All right, that was very funny. Thank you very much for that story. All right, so you're going back to school mm-hmm. now. Where are you living right now?
I'm still in. So when I decided to go, I looked up what was the number one school in social work, and University of Michigan came up in Ann Arbor, and so I just decided to apply, and I got in.
Just decided,
yeah.
And it just happened again.
It happened again. But I did pray to ask the Lord to give me signs to see if this is the right. Direction.
So why this time?
Huh?
Right?
Well, it was a big change for me to go from a full-time job with benefits, good retirement, and to leave. It was a
back to school again.
Back to school again, which I said I would never do. And so, so I was like, well, let me see. But then one day I was driving and I saw a Michigan license plate in Oklahoma. I was like,
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma. Okay. And then one of my favorite movies is Day After Tomorrow. And one of the characters had a University of Michigan shirt on.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then I had just bought a car, and it had Ann Arbor, Michigan on the, when they were talking about the navigation.
No kidding.
Yes. And so I'm
what
like,
what are the chances, right?
Yeah. I'm like, well, so this must be, that was before I got the acceptance letter. And I was like, okay.
Before you got
I got it.
Okay.
And then when I got accepted, I was so happy. And so.
So it was Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Ann Arbor, yes.
Okay. So what year is this that you're going doing that?
So in 2018.
All right. So in 2018, mm-hmm. you go to U of M mm-hmm. for a master's in social work. Mm-hmm. Do you like live on campus?
Yes. I lived in the graduate dorms. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And so. The environment that you're in, there's people in similar situations as you?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't know there's a graduated dorm there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you go graduated dorms. You're going to school. Mm-hmm. You were working.
And so I wasn't working at the time, but with my program, this is a 16-month program, mm-hmm. you had to do an internship.
Okay.
And so I when I said before I came, I wanted to do an internship in Flint. So Flint was an area that I was interested in.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Why Flint? Because there was a reason. You don't do anything just out of happenstance.
No. All right. Because I heard about the water crisis and stuff like that, and I know that you need to be there in order to get the real story.
The water crisis.
Yeah, the water crisis. And then also I've had, you know, relatives who worked at GM and stuff like that.
Okay.
Who lived in Flint and always talked about Flint. And so, you know, just
it's something about this city, man. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's like you're always punching up mm-hmm. trying to get there, but mm-hmm. you never quit. And something about the people here that I just love. So it was a mix between what had happened mm-hmm. and you wanted to make a difference, and you had mm-hmm. family that was here. Which drove you here? Okay, so you go to U of M, you do 16 months. Did you finish early or on time?
No, it was on time.
Okay.
It was on time.
All right.
I had my internship.
How long into the program, right? When you start, you have to pick one?
Nope. And so I go the first semester. So I went from, September to December. I had to pick organization to go to for that January.
Okay, and this was one of the programs that they had.
Motherly Intercession. Mm-hmm. And it actually brought to my attention by my advisor, my Phil instructor.
All right, so back up a second. Mm-hmm. How would a group get approved for that list? How did that happen?
Ms. Cochran had worked with them previously. And so they had reached out to Motherly Intercession because Motherly Intercession, like I said, is a great program. It's a different program.
Yep.
And so working with a different population. And and you would, a nonprofit could call a university and see if they could be a placement for a social worker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because mm-hmm. I just find that curious because I'm like, man, I know a number of groups that might mm-hmm. be able to fit for that. And mm-hmm. I was just curious how you got that. Okay, so you get to Flint, so you do your first semester, you pick them, why them out of all the other ones?
So in child welfare, I worked with a lot of children who had incarcerated parents.
So you saw the difficulty.
Mm-hmm. I saw the difficulty, and I also, like I said, I was the type of worker who I kept that parent informed about their children, mm-hmm. and so I would write to them, send pictures to them about their child,
what they were doing. Because we have to delve into this. So you originally went to school for business,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
And then you decided to do clothes and went back uh-huh. home because you need to go home. And then mm-hmm. you decide, I'm going to go back to school because to get a master's in social work, mm-hmm. because of the social work, to do social work.
Mm-hmm.
So the process was to do social work.
Yes.
So doing the nonprofit was mm-hmm. just what you needed to do to finish the degree.
Yes.
I want to make sure that
yes.
this is where we're mm-hmm. sitting.
Yes.
So you're like, I'm just going to go down here and intern and mm-hmm. I'll get this done.
Yes.
And we'll be great. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is in what year now, 2019?
2019, that's
okay,
when I got,
so
yeah.
January of 2019, mm-hmm. you come in, and what happens then?
And so I met with Ms. Cochran,
yeah.
and she told the story of Motherly Intercession, yeah. and I was hooked. And I met the kids. I worked the program in the jail with the parents. I did the visitation program in the jail, and I saw
how where I first met
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep, and so really seeing that interaction and the needed contact between the parent and the child that really tugged on me, because no matter what that parent did or alleged did, that parent is always that parent for that child.
Right.
And that's what that child want to know, that parent is safe.
So let me make this make sense. Mm-hmm. So you go and you see the mom mm-hmm. in jail and you're giving them parenting classes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stress. Like how to work with stress,
mm-hmm.
how to
yes.
okay,
mm-hmm.
how to deal with not being around their children.
Yes, uh-huh.
okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like parent days or something where the kids get to go to
visitation.
The jail and see
mm-hmm.
their family while they're in jail.
Yeah.
What is that like?
It's very different. It's very. It kind of got me used to in child welfare because we did visitation with parents, and mm-hmm. and that was kind of the same thing also where you have this strange child, you're a stranger to the child.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to take them up here to see their mom.
Yeah.
And then I'm taking them down to see their mom from their mom again.
Taking them away from their mom.
Away from the mom again.
And that emotional experience.
Yes.
Like, that's got to be so. A person that watched that, I'm trying to get people to get how emotional.
Yeah.
Because you're going in there and the kids are so happy to see their mom. And the mom is so happy to see that kid.
Yes.
And it's very emotional.
Yes.
And then when they have to leave.
Yes.
And I've watched it and I've cried when I went home. It, and like, no, mom, I don't want to do this. And you guys are doing that. God, it just breaks your heart.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how do we help that kid get, because it just brings it all home.
Right? Yes.
And I think, do you guys use that as a reminder to the parent that this is why we got to do the right thing, because this kid's depending on you to get this done?
Yes, we talk about how incarceration affects the child, you know, as far as trauma level, because that's the one thing about trauma is a piece of trauma, being away from that parent.
Right.
Yeah, and it puts them at risk, you know, also. Yeah.
And then, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I just remember that, like, processing it. All right, and then, but you go through those two things, which I thought both were super hard.
Yeah.
But then when they meet at your place, when they get out, the mom.
Yeah.
What is that?
And so it's great, especially if the ladies choose to continue the program and the children continue our program too. And so that's been amazing to see a lot of these children go through our program and grow with us and to be in those different ages and some of them even coming to work for us, you know. So it's amazing to see that transformation. And that's one of the reasons why I stayed.
I figured. That's why we're talking about it. Doggone it. We got to take another break. This is going by so fast. If you guys have not gone to unlocktheirfuture.org, please check that out. Hit like and subscribe so we can be a help to you and your family. You sit tight. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold: share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, have some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid signups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really have some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably 200 to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there has been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
You have a All right, welcome back to the Warriors Race, our final section. We actually continued the interview and we're off here. But all right, so you knew within a couple of months, you'd done all these jobs, and then, like, was there a moment where you're like, because the whole reason you were doing this just was to get your master's so you could go work for Social Federal, get your money, get your retirement.
Yeah.
And then there came a moment, and what happened?
Yeah, so it was actually one of the kids. You just gonna leave like the rest of them.
Oh, guilt tripped you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and so I really started to think about the mission with Mother Lena in Session, how I can fit in, and how to really, what I can bring to Mother Lena in Session. Mm-hmm. And so, and I decided to stay. And so to really try to build relationships with the parents and try to give, like, to empower them. Mm-hmm. And so to really, you know, if you get in a crisis, what can you do? Who you can turn to? What organizations that you can go to when I'm in a certain crisis?
So is that kid that gave you that massive guilt trip still there?
No. I did not.
Because that's a massive guilt trip. But yeah. It's amazing how God like works things mm-hmm. through, right?
Yeah.
So you just decided, this is what I can bring to this. I can make this better. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And you're like, oh, my God, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have to, like, break that to your parents and go, listen, I had a plan.
Mm-hmm. No, they with me, they know, like, anything goes with me. So they're not surprised at anything
they're like,
that
yeah,
I do.
So you can change your mind yeah. on a dime, huh?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you're doing this. And so tell the audience about, like, what happens with the kids when they stay with the program mm-hmm. and, like, when they get older. Like, how does that work? So someone's parents go to jail. Mm-hmm. They start getting tutored, and, mm-hmm. and you help with transportation and a couple other things, right?
Yeah, transportation and meals. Uh-huh.
All right. And then so what happens with that child as they process through
that? And so now they're into our Reading County to Success program, so the after school and the summer day camp. And then they process through our In Touch. And so before the pandemic, it was just for teenagers. Mm-hmm. So it was really missing that middle school. Mm-hmm. of age. And I noticed that. I'm like, oh, we need to do something kind of different. So we started including middle school kids.
And this has them doing what?
This has them doing working on a curriculum called Positive Actions.
Okay.
And so it really empowers them, you know, positive thinking creates positive actions. And
sure.
Yeah. And in turn, you feel better about yourself. You do better and stuff like that. It teaches life skills.
Okay.
And so we really try to work on that. They meet every first and third Saturdays.
All right. Month. So what happens if a child goes through your program and they like graduate high school? Mm-hmm. Like what happens? Do you guys do anything with them then?
No. So they, with Motherland Search, it's kind of neat. It's a village concept. And so people enter the village and exit the village at any point, but they always can come back.
Okay.
So they always can call us, and I have some of them that I do check up on. You know, I'll call them, and then mm-hmm. Jaleesa, our program administrator, she's been with the organization since it started, mm-hmm. and she has connections with all the kids, you mm-hmm. know, Facebook and stuff like that. And so we really, mm-hmm. you know, if they see if they needed any help, and really open that door for them. The door doesn't close; they always welcome to come back.
All right. So just to finish up with your story, so you realize, wow, I can make a real difference mm-hmm. here. So you go back to school after the internship, and what happens?
So I stayed at Motherly Intercession.
After the internship was over?
Mm-hmm, yeah, after the internship was over, I stayed.
No kidding.
After I graduated, I stayed at Motherly Intercession as their social worker.
All right, hold on. How long was that internship supposed to last?
Well, it lasted just for a year. So
okay.
Yeah, it lasted for a year.
So it was supposed to be for a year, mm-hmm. which would have put you with a couple of months left in your program before you graduated?
Mm-mm, no, it was right at the when I graduated in December. And
okay.
So it ended like a couple weeks before
okay.
the December.
So you had already talked by then?
Optimist. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So, okay. And so this is
2019. Uh-huh, 2019, December 2019.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So the dark cloud is forming. We don't know it.
Yeah.
So you decide to do what?
I decided to stay at Motherly Intercession.
Doing what position?
The social worker.
So you decide to be a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say January of 2020.
Yes.
With March of 2020
yes.
coming with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you start. Mm-hmm. All hell breaks loose.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah, so we were off for 3 months. And during this time, too, Ms. Cochran had already announced in February, that she was retiring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because you just, like, as a pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so all this is going on. And then she asked me, would I like to apply for it? I said, oh, yeah.
She came to you.
Yeah, she asked me, would I like to apply for it since it's open. And I applied for it, interviewed for it, and they selected me, and so.
Well, her coming to you tells me that she picked you, because mm-hmm. I know how she is, and if she didn't want you to have it, she would have said nothing. Okay, and how long was that process? So this is happening
mm-hmm.
in the past. So this would have been like April, May, June?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you opened, mm-hmm. you interviewed, you applied, opened, interviewed,
mm-hmm.
and how long?
It was, so I signed my official papers May 5th.
Okay, so it's a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So okay. So you signed the papers. What was the transition time between her leaving and you taking over?
She was gone in April of 2020.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So it was an empty.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you feel it. You're in the middle of an unprecedented pandemic.
Pandemic, yep.
And you're in charge.
Yep.
Yeah. What did you do? What?
A lot of prayer. But then I have, I mentioned Jaleesa Mays. Jaleesa Mays is amazing. And so she was our backbone. Anything you need to know about motherly intercession, she knows it.
All right. So what did you do to transition?
Well, we met a lot. And during the pandemic, it allowed us to really go over our programs.
Okay.
What can we do better? What are the challenges in those programs? How can we work them? And to really get the staff, too. Because, during this time, too, everybody, they're losing staff also. Yeah. So,
like, how did you see the – did you see the kids? Were you able to?
We were able to. We just cut our enrollment down to 25.
Yeah.
And we didn't accept new students.
Well,
so,
were they able to go in and see their parents during that time?
No, not for the
jail. I'm pretty
sure
it was locked down.
Yes, in the jail. Mm. Mm-hmm.
But you were still able to help the kids with class? Okay, so did you guys set up like an online?
We tried thing? That, but the kids did not like it. They were tapped out at being in school. They did not want to do it. So we had to do everything safely. And so we really... we cut our enrollment to 25.
Yeah.
And that gave us also time to build relationships with our families that we did have. And so just to build those different, deeper relationships.
So mm-hmm. it was kind of a blessing.
Yes.
Because it allowed you to shrink, to reload,
mm-hmm.
Give you time kind of to catch up.
Yes.
And sit down with your staff and say, okay, where are we at? What mm-hmm. directions are we going? And kind of get everybody on the same page.
Yes. Right?
So that was in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did that kind of transition process take before you really had your feet kind of underneath you?
It's still processing.
By 2 years, I got to figure you're feeling fairly confident in the directions you're going.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And you guys do what do you call it again? Is it a banquet?
Yeah. So it's our annual dinner.
Yeah. So I remember the first time I went, the thing that blew my hair back, so to speak, was those kids talked so intelligently, mm-hmm. and they take you to your seat, and mm-hmm. they're the kids are, and knowing the process, understanding that I know that their mom is in jail,
mm-hmm.
but the way they talk and carry themselves, standing up straight, the way they dressed,
mm-hmm.
the positions that you had them doing, if I didn't know what I was there for,
mm-hmm.
I would have thought I was somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that you guys don't like to toot your horn when it comes to this kind of stuff, but you got to blow your horn a little bit on this, because these kids are coming in from violent upbringings and homes, don't mm-hmm. have good education, don't have good food, don't live in a safe environment, and they get into your program and they are polite and they are kind and they are helpful.
Yeah.
How does all of that happen? You know?
Yeah, it's intentional. When Ms. Cochran created this, she had a vision that she wanted to accomplish with children.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the transformation, when the child comes in until a point where they exit is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because, like I said, you can't assume a lot of things about children if they're learning what they're learning at home or learning in school. You just got to teach it.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. And what they're learning at home can be completely different from what you're trying to teach mm-hmm. them. So when you're dealing with that negative, hostile environment, they're mm-hmm. learning that environment and then reciprocating that.
Yeah.
But I mean, when we get in there, and you also have some kind of an auction or something or other, right?
Yes, we have a silent auction during the annual dinner.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if somebody wanted to donate money to this, can they just go to the website there and locktheirfuture.org?
Yes, they can.
And there's some button.
Donate now button. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then do you have any other events other than the 5K?
The annual dinner is coming up in November 12th.
November 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And people can sign up for that? Or?
Not right now. We don't. We have the date and we have the place where we're having it at.
Yeah.
And so we're still in the planning stages
of
that event.
All right. And then if people are like, man, that's the most amazing thing I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
How do I volunteer for that? They would go to the same?
They go to the website, and you can click on volunteering, and then you can fill out a volunteer form. And then after that, it'll get sent to me, and then we'll reach out to you so we can do a criminal background check and a DHS check. And then we'll do an orientation you can help.
All right. And like what kind of things could people volunteer for?
And so for the after school program, we need tutors to help with children.
Tutors. So if someone's like a retired teacher or something, if they want to get into helping kids, this would be a great program to do. And they have, you guys have got like a computer room or
Yes, we do.
Right?
We do have a computer room. But since COVID, you know, everybody can't touch. Yeah. So they have tablets. And so they have their own tablet now.
All right. And they go through there. And as this goes along, do you know how many kids have gone through your program at this point?
No, I do not know.
Like if you had to guess, I would say you're doing like a couple thousand.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably would be a couple thousand. Yeah.
And what you guys do coming down to the jail and your story of getting to this and taking the next step and with Shirley Crocker, and I look forward to being support and help to what you guys do. Your program is I've never even heard of anything else like this before, so being able to expand this program is great. So if people are looking for something to do, this is definitely a good. It caught you, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
It
and did. From making the money and getting the retirement to this is I mean that's a step. But it kind of keeps a fire lit under you because you know you got to get it done, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Is there anything in your story that we didn't touch when we were talking that you want to make a point to say?
My support of my parents really helped me through. They gave me different experiences, different positive experiences. When I wanted to go to NYU, they made it possible where I could go tour NYU.
Mm-hmm.
When we learn about things in the classroom, Mount Rushmore. I got to go see Mount Rushmore, Grand Canyon, go to Niagara Falls. And so my parents were very supportive, very, like I said, in the church. And really, and that has seen me through. No matter where I move to, I always make sure I have a good beauty shop person in a church.
Yeah, right.
So that's my two qualifications other than housing. I'm already going to have housing. But those are my two qualifications of moving somewhere, finding that immediately to ground me. And so, you know, that's really a deal. My parents are really great people, very supportive in anything that I wanted to do. And I wouldn't be able to do it without their support.
Yeah,
and
well,
so,
you said they had that good Hayes name, so
yes.
You couldn't ruin it, right?
No.
All right, so, well, with that being said, then, is there anyone specific, you know, between your mom or your dad that, like, this kind of experience formed, like, other, I mean, they're supporting you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's daddy's girls, and there's mama's girls, and there's, like, what one were you in that?
Because
it sounds like you just like them both equally, which is weird. It's just weird that,
It is. I do like a mini, but I do have my grandmother, which we call Miss Katie. And so Miss Cochran reminds me a lot of my Miss Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really into the community, into nonprofit work also. Mm-hmm. She wrote grants and everything. And everything she did, she knew the community and wanted the community to rise up and to be the best that they can be.
Right, be the best version of what we're trying to achieve, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Nicole, I am so glad that you came on here. I'm really glad that everybody got to meet you. If you get a chance to go to unlocktheirfuture.org, which is for Motherly Intercession, which is the group, please go check that out. It's a very unique, great program, helping families. We have come to the end of the Spiritual Warfare Unit and our show. If you have not gone to like, share, and subscribe at this stage, you're going to have to wait till the next show. But I want to thank you for coming in. And for those people that are looking for help and outreach, please go to spiritualwarfareunit.com. You can click on Struggling, and there you see at least 15 different people, which we'll be adding Motherly Intercessors on there as one of our partners so people know where to find them. And we look forward to being help to you in the future. Thanks you so much for coming out. And if you thank you for stopping in and seeing Spiritual Warfare Unit, and we will see you next week. Do you have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much. Let me stay this way. Jesus.
it's all.